I'm going to break all the rules of good preaching, and the good rules of preaching are that you never start with a question. But I'm going to. Have you ever been asked to do something and then found any excuse not to do it, even though you know you should or need to? No, Bob's going, never. Gerlin's going, no, never, never, never. Has anyone ever categorised you as a gunner? I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, and then you don't. Yeah. Remember the parable that Jesus tells of the two sons, the one who's asked to do something for his father and says he will, and then he doesn't, and the other is reluctant, but eventually does. Those sorts of situations probably confront us every day, particularly married couples, parents with teenagers, or maybe just parents asking children to do things. The Reverend Pam Halbert once spoke with a new assistant priest that had been appointed to work with me at Christchurch, who had asked for some advice about working in ministry with me. Pam retold the conversation to me later. Pam said to the new assistant, "If you're asked to do something for Noel or promised to do something for Noel, just make sure you do it." While I have a lot more compassion now, I'm happy to empower people and trust their word. The book of the prophet Jonah is not just a story. Jonah is not a biblical Pinocchio, though often it seems that the story of Jonah ends up being put in the same category as this children's story. And if you look at anything on YouTube, you've got some absolutely horrible cartoony type swallowing by whales. It's terrible. Not because Jonah tells lies and his nose grows longer, or because he's made of wood, but because both Jonah and Pinocchio are swallowed by and delivered from the belly of a whale. And the book of the prophet Jonah is not just about the whale. It's not my intention to spend time discussing the scientific possibilities of a whale swallowing a man. Supposedly, it's happened to two people. One in the 1890s, which has dodgy credibility, and more recently in the last 10 years, a diver has claimed he was swallowed by a sperm whale. Enough said about the whale. The book of the prophet Jonah. 58 verses with more action than an Indiana Jones movie. The book of the prophet Jonah is the story of a man who is called by God to speak his word. But instead of heading off to Nineveh, which was 800 kilometres away, northeast of Jerusalem, he jumps on a boat and does a runner to Spain. That's where the boat's going. Possibly the furthest point to the west of the then known world. Right? Because 20 kilometres past the Rock of Gibraltar, you fell off the edge of the world. So he's gone as far away as he can. And why wouldn't he do that? Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. And the Assyrians had a reputation for fierceness and cruelty. We know this because they kept their records engraved on the walls of their buildings. Public dismembering, but leaving the right hand on the person so that they could shake your hand before they died. Public beheading and making family members parade with the deceased family members' heads on pikes. Skinning people alive, burning children. A Jew is being asked one thing of a nation that is hostile to his own country. They are five Jewish words that said, 40 days more and Nineveh will be overturned. I ask you, if it was you, wouldn't you run away to Spain? Jesus comes from Galilee and questions are asked of him. What good comes out of Galilee? Because Galilee was a place where you got lots of, like the Western medicine men. and pretend miracle performers. So when Jesus says, "Oh, I come from Galilee," there's suspicion. Jonah, 58 verses of chaos. A storm at sea, conversion of sailors who find that their own gods aren't good enough, so they pray to the Jewish God. A miraculous rescue, a song of praise, the repentance of Israel's arch enemy, and some intense, honest conversations between God and a very reluctant prophet. The book of Jonah has very similar conversations to what we find in the book of Job. Archaeological evidence has shown us that Nineveh was a walled city, 12 kilometres in circumference. It took Jonah 3 days to visit every nook and cranny and speak into people's lives. And Jonah went to Nineveh warning the people, and they responded immediately. They responded to a Jew covered in whale vomit. There's nothing in the scriptures that said, "Oh, Jonah got out of the whale's stomach and then went and had a shower and changed his clothes." No. He just went straight and did the job. And there was no Samsung S24 to immediately translate for him into the Assyrian language. For Jonah, God's messenger, belief took an angry storm, 3 days in the belly of a fish, and a second chance of obedience. But God knew that the hearts of the people of Nineveh were ripe for obedience. They repented, and God relented. And God relents because God wants all people to be reconciled to him. And I hope you believe that. Even the people who aren't here today, he wants them. Even the people who live 20 kilometres away, he wants them. Jonah, on the other hand, instead of rejoicing, sits down and mopes. Chucks an absolutely big sad. And it makes you wonder, is he any different to us? When people say to you, "Oh, you need to forgive that person. Or you need to forgive that person. Or you need to forgive that person." Remember, it's 70 times 7? And sometimes it's really difficult. And Jonah, speaking God's word, finds the whole thing really difficult. How could God forgive these 120,000 Ninevites? How could he? How many of us walk around in fear? Sorry, can you find yourself in this Jonah story anywhere? How many of us walk around in fear, understanding that God has called us to proclaim good news to the poor and bind up the brokenhearted, yet refusing to be obedient? I reckon it's the hardest thing sometimes to go to people and share the gospel. And it's very easy to just say, "Oh, we'll do this by our actions." And we've got to remember that in the early church, what impressed people more than anything else about this group called the Christians was the fact they cared for the widows and the orphans. Who set up the first hospitals? The Christians. Who set up the first schools? Who set up the first caring agencies? Who set up Anglicare in the first century? Christians did. But so often we say to God, "No, no, no, God," because we want to act on our own wants and our needs. We wonder what God will need to do to convince us to proclaim the message he's laid out in our hearts. Will it take a giant fish swallowing us? I'm going to walk out to the car park after the service and there's a giant whale swallowing you lot. We're in trouble. Right? A pod of whales was washed up on Mandra beaches today, and out popped all the members of the Kudanup congregation. And covered in whale vomit, they wandered around the town proclaiming the gospel. That would be a new one. Even then, will we turn our backs and neglect the message we have been given. Because we know better than that, don't we? Do you understand that what we've been called to do, to be Christians, is not easy? I think it's getting harder. But instead of obedience, we cling on to what we see as our most valuable and turn from God's love for us. In our selfishness, we refuse to allow God to love the people that he desires to love through us. Most people I know would prefer mountains or oceanside resorts for a 3-day retreat. But in Jonah's case, the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow him. And it was there he lived for 3 days and 3 nights. I grew up reading the story of Jonah, and I still can't help but pause here. Believing this story takes great faith. Picture yourself reading the Bible for the first time. How could you not conclude that Christians are stupid to believe that? Either that, or the God of the land and the sea is exactly who he says he is. One who provides for his children, going to lengths as extreme as vomiting them in the midst of the very people who need to hear his message. Angry with God's interpretation of righteousness, Jonah asked for God to take his life. How many times have you given an ultimatum to somebody? If you don't do this, then I'll... And it's extreme. It's emotional blackmail. But in Jonah's case, he was serious. He could not understand that this was a God of compassion. It didn't matter what the Ninevites had done prior. The fact that they had turned around and been convicted was all God needed. Couldn't fathom the grace that God offered the people. After all, he'd been in the belly of a fish for 3 days. And he was the prophetic voice of God. That's promoting yourself to more importance. Dissatisfied, Jonah was not confident in what God would do with the hearts of 120,000 Ninevites. So he grabbed a seat outside the city to watch its pending destruction. God even provided his servant with a shade tree for a day before taking it away the next morning. Disgruntled yet again, Jonah sulked in the hot sun, pleading with God for death. And God answered one more time, showing his compassion, his control of all things, and his grace for those whom he chooses. God showed to Jonah that everything he had was a gift and that he could take it away at any time. I see myself in a relationship with Jonah. God speaks, I pretend not to hear. God responds, I go in the opposite direction. It seems to take a lot to get through, but God is faithful. How many times haven't I told God what he was supposed to be seeing? After all, I'd surveyed the facts, laid out my plans to respond to the needs of his world, and told God exactly what his next move was meant to be, all the while avoiding the truth, so I refused to go where he would have me go. But God is in control. God knows all things. Still, this doesn't give me a free pass and a half-hearted obedience that asks him to bless my all-too-convenient plans. A priest once was approached by a parishioner who said that God had told him to leave his wife. The priest advised the man that he didn't believe God would ask him to leave his wife and break a sacrament. The man was undeterred. He left his wife because he wanted to be with another woman. It had nothing to do with God. Questions. Who is your Nineveh? What is your fish? What storm are you fighting And what message is the Lord trying to deliver to you? Perhaps we should be more like the people of Nineveh and learn to listen the first time. And learn and understand that God's mercy is extended to all people. That you cannot hide from God. You can't rush God. Everything operates in God's time. Everyone deserves compassion, and God's love can change people. The Lord be with you.